ViralCast, MovieViral.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and I'm here with a few special guests. We have Scott, who is our contributing editor and graphic designer for the site. How's it going, Scott?
Fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. We have Chris Stultz, who we call Stultz for the day, one of our writers for the site. How's it going, Stultz?
Splendiferous.
And the reason for us calling him that is we have a special guest, a friend of Scott's and a follower of us on Twitter, Mr. Chris. How's it going, Chris?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Not bad. All right. So obviously, I think a lot of people know the big stories for the week is going to be Comic-Con. We got all the schedules coming out. Today was the last one they had. Got the exhibitors, everything, pretty much everything you want to know most about Comic-Con's out. We did a story earlier about how there's actually some good off-site stuff, and we have a check our site out for that, because there's actually a calendar you can import if you're going and go. So let's talk about Comic-Con. First, I guess Thursday is probably the big one for us, just because it has Tron. So Comic-Con starts on the 22nd, goes to the 25th. So Tron is going to be one of the first panels, actually, of that day, too, and that should be pretty interesting. We'll have... actually, has Patton Oswalt, which is interesting as their moderator. I'm not sure why.
Who knows exactly why, but that should add a little intrigue to it, I should say.
And they'll have all the big cast members there: Jeff Bridges, Garrett Hedlund, Olivia Wilde. That should be definitely nice to see. And there's a chance we may actually get an interview with one or two of those guys. So hopefully, cross your fingers. We'll actually be able to, but they'll be over there. We'll actually get to hear some soundtrack, some music from the Daft Punk soundtrack, which I think a lot of people are interested in. So for me, that's kind of the big one for us. There's also one where J.J. Abrams is going to be there talking with Joss Whedon, which is pretty awesome. So from you guys checking out, the pretty big schedule, we'll start with Scott. What was something that kind of that piqued your interest that we should definitely cover, that sounds pretty cool for people who may be wanting to go?
Well, I think, like you just said, too, the big two in my eyes would be, of course, the J.J. Abrams discussion, which is going to be flocked to, whether it be, Super 8 type of stuff like that, or whether it's just going to be the history of what, I don't know exactly why him and Joss Whedon are together. Obviously, they haven't done much over the years, but I think that's going to be a big one. But I'm just very interested, as far as Tron goes, what they're going to do to basically double up, I would hope, what they did last year with the scavenger hunt. It's huge. Mm-hmm. They have to bring it like incredibly huge, I think, this year, and I'm sure they will.
Yeah, especially since the movie comes out this year.
Right. Yeah. They've been doing Comic-Con for the past 2 years now. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I think those two are going to be big. There seems to be, in my eyes, I'm looking at a lot of the horror stuff that goes on with Saw, the new horribly named Saw movie, and
all these 3D movies,
just some different
stuff. Names.
All the 3D horror movies. You got the Saw one. You got Nicolas Cage's movie there. There's just a lot of cool horror movies, I think.
Wait,
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Stuff, so
is Anal Destination going to be there?
I haven't actually seen anything.
That's such a horrible name.
It's
an appropriate name. When you thought they were going to end, they come back.
I know. Because it was like...
You could have had Saw 7 rip off 7 and put a 7 in their name.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Saw 7. That series will never end.
I know.
It's good. I whatever. I'm like one of the few people maybe that we speak with on a regular basis that likes the Saw series. I enjoyed every single one of them.
Actually, I like them too, so it's okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what 3D can do with it. But no, the horror thing seems to be pretty decent. But mm-hmm. No, I think Tron and JJ are going to kind of steal the show at Comic-Con this year. And then, of course, you got all the DC and Marvel stuff going on. So
yeah. So Stultz, what are the things that popped out to you?
I'm really hoping for anything JJ Abrams. But really, only thing I care about from here is Tron, namely because I apologize, but I never watched the Tron movies, the second and first, because they're technical, and it just was ugly to me. But this new Tron, I'm going to watch it, and I'm just hoping the plot is more complex than just being sucked into a world of gladiator games.
Okay. I mean, that's everyone's prerogative. I personally really like the original. I mean, it's relatively simple, but given what it does, it has a really distinct look. I mean, just from looking at the trailer, I agree that you're going to see much more complex and really detailed work here, both in terms of...
No, definitely, yeah.
In terms of
the new trailer itself looks incredible, and, you know, they had the new stills that we put up on the site and stuff like that, and for some reason Jeff Bridges has a glow-in-the-dark hoodie, which is cool, but... You know.
I've seen a lot of parodies of that where they have him with a lightsaber because he looks like the Emperor. It's pretty great.
I will say this, though. It looks like the new Tron looks like it's going to have more character drama instead of the usual wow factor that every single first movie has.
Yeah.
They're coming into a new world. I think this one will be more like, oh, he sees his father again. Why were you so...
Right, there's more emotional stuff in there.
Definitely. Which is good. It's good.
Definitely. So, Chris, our guest, did you check out the schedule? What are some things from the Thursday that you liked?
Well, on Thursday, things that kind of stand out to me. Don't say Olivia Wilde.
That's for me.
Tron, yeah. I'm more of a, surprising enough, I'm more of the kind of the music kind of guy that goes with movies, because I think a big part of movies is music. And if you can have kind of a horrible movie, but good music to kind of heighten the suspense and stuff like that. And I think even though it's only an hour long on Thursday, would be kind of the behind the music. One of the greats who composed music for a lot of Disney movies, such as, Hook. He also did the Harry Potter films. I mean, he's getting up there in age. I can't really... John Williams, yes. Even though he stole a lot of his music off of someone else's work called The Planets, but that's only for music buffs. But
he's stolen stuff from a lot of people. There's a couple examples, yeah.
he steals stuff from himself. But the thing is that I'm actually surprised. I mean, I've never gone to one of these things before, but I'm really surprised that they actually have like at least an hour, behind the music and things like that. I mean, come on, Austin Powers had fantastic music, and the guy behind that, did put the mojo into the film.
Right. No, I definitely agree. Burt Bacharach. Yeah, that was actually, if you look at our site, I featured a couple of the ones that, I tried to do ones that were both relevant to our site and also just kind of ones that are definitely good. That was one of the ones I actually mentioned, because I took a film music class in school and it was great, and it really makes you appreciate music, because Michael, I can never say his last name, Giacchino, who did Lost, Star Trek. I mean, he's one of the bigger composers now. He's doing a lot for Disney right now, actually. He's kind of the next generation of people. You're also getting John Ottman, who did Superman Returns, Jeremy Zuckerman, who did Avatar, The Last Airbender. It's some pretty cool people behind it, so it's really interesting to see all that stuff behind it. I agree.
I don't think that saying he did the music for anything related to Avatar Airbender is a very good resume kind of reference.
Well, I think it's the show. I don't know if it's the movie or the show, to be honest.
Is it the show or the movie?
I have to look it up. I'm not sure. I just know that I saw the name and I was like, well, that's a big name. So, because I'm not really familiar with his work as much. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, there's also one Masters of the Web, which has Roberto Orci, who did Star Trek. He wrote Star Trek.
Yep.
And so they have a couple people. It's actually have some people from like Cinematical and HitFix, and so some of the the online stuff. That's what it features. So Latina Review, Screen Rant. So it's kind of interesting. So I might check that out to kind of see some of the guys from the other blogs. Sony Pictures has their big thing that day too, where they have Battle Los Angeles. They'll show some stuff from that, which looks pretty cool. Someone, I can't remember who it was. I knew someone who saw an early screening of it. It might have been Ian. I can't remember. Someone saw an early screening of it, and they really liked it. And then, of course, Salt's going to be there too, which we've been covering their little game that they have. So that should be interesting to see hopefully some stuff from that. I don't think Angelina Jolie's going to be there, though, unfortunately.
I didn't seem to say her name on there, but yeah, it's all right.
I'm sure they would have focused if she did. And then, of course, Scott Pilgrim versus the World has their thing there, too, which obviously, I mean, every time I hear anything about Scott Pilgrim, everyone just flocks to it. So that should be definitely a big thing for...
Well, I mean, it looks... I don't know anything, you know, the history-wise about the, you know, the graphic novel, comic books, whatever you want to call it, but mm-hmm. I'm, like, 100% all for this movie. I want to see it badly, yep. So I'm assuming that, yeah, that's going to be one of the big ones, too, that...
Yeah, it looks really cool. All right, and so on Friday, more stuff. It looks like it's a little more heavy on television on Friday, if you guys check it out. If you go to comic-con.org, you can see all the schedules and pretty much anything.
Or you can go to our site.
Well, our site has, like I said, the featured
stuff. We have the abridged.
Yeah, we have the abridged version. So if you want to see everything, because, I mean, obviously we're not going to cover too much of the non-movie television stuff. You know, there's so much stuff going on during Comic-Con. We can't cover all the comic book stuff.
You don't want to learn how to draw comic book heroes?
There's a lot of good stuff like that. So definitely check that stuff out. So we're obviously going to feature the stuff that's relevant to us. So for that, like I said, a lot of television. The Walking Dead is probably the big one for us. I know that our writer, reporter, Corey, writes for the Walking Dead podcast site. So we'll be kind of covering that a little bit. The Joss Whedon experience is kind of cool because it'll talk more to Joss Whedon because you can never get enough Joss Whedon. And a True Blood panel, since True Blood's had a little bit of a viral, which we've only barely talked about, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That'll be cool because they'll have those guys there. And they're going to have the one that's called Aloha Earth, which is about Hawaii Five-O. I want to see that.
You would.
I know. I love it. It's so cheesy. Because its executive producers are Kurtzman and Orky, who did Star Trek, so it's, you know.
Well, eventually their name's going to be on everything, so.
And that's how it is. Which is funny, because they did such a horrible job on Transformers, but I think a lot of that was Michael Bay, so let's not completely put him in the gutter. So, Scott,
blame Michael Bay for anything related to Transformers suckage.
Yep. So, Scott, did you see some things on there that you liked?
Well, no, I think, like you said, a lot of it was, like, TV show-based, which is still cool because, I mean, TVs obviously come in different things. I think it's not on Friday, but I think the event is Saturday. But
jumping ahead.
I'm trying not to go ahead, but, you know, The Walking Dead is going to be cool. That seems to be, like, one of those things that grabbed a huge buzz, like, really quick. It wasn't even, like...
That is on Friday.
Oh, what's that? No, that is on Friday, but I'm just saying it's, like, the... And granted, there's not a lot of viral marketing for television shows right now, but
yeah,
it could turn. You know, it could be one of those things that, you know, Comic-Con is known for introducing viral marketing, so things could change. TV shows could start taking a whole new approach to it. So,
right,
you know, but you know, I don't know. Friday doesn't seem to be the big of a day as, you know, some of the other ones out there to me.
Yeah, it's very, very, like I said, it's television heavy, not really too much craziness going on. What about you, Stultz? What did you like from that day?
I'm targeting The Walking Dead because I hate zombie material so much, but this actually looks fine because of the character study. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I'm kind of like 50-50, please do good. If not, I will hate anything else related to zombie ever. Because, I mean, come on, Resident Evil. I don't think there's any more zombies in there.
Yeah, they've gone pretty crazy with that series.
You can never go wrong with zombies.
That's true. So about you, Chris, what are some things that you think we should cover or that look good to you?
I would say the Joss Whedon experience. Because even though I can't stand any of the Twilight series, any of the new vampire stuff that's out, even True Blood, I think it's just really overdone it, and I think it's I'm a huge fan of Angel. Mm-hmm. I think that was by far the best kind of vampire kind of TV show out there, as well as, I mean, I've never really watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I mean, mm-hmm. It was, from all the episodes that I had watched, it would that would be the two, that would be the big thing for me if I went to the Comic-Con, would go to see, because I mean that's a great resume right there. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Dollhouse, Serenity. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy should make
every movie
a TV show. Yeah, every movie. He should be the one doing the Twilight series. But
That'd be interesting.
He should be the one doing Let Me In.
Exactly.
He definitely knows the genre well enough between the two shows he did. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of his when it comes to Firefly and then the movie Serenity. Yeah. So, yeah. And actually, Nathan Fillion will be there that day also for, it's called Super. It's a movie that's about, it's kind of like a superhero movie, not really, and it has, obviously Nathan Fillion has Rainn Wilson from The Office, and actually James Gunn will be directing and writing it, so he did Slither. So, it's kind of cool. So, yeah, definitely a lot of Whedon stuff this year. I mean, and obviously, as a lot of people know, they're doing that documentary, him and Morgan Spurlock are doing that documentary about Comic-Con, so I'm sure you'll see some stuff there for that. Right, and Saturday it will be pretty heavy, I think. I remember trying to make the little abbreviated list of all the good stuff. Saturday's gonna be pretty heavy. For me, obviously, I think the Marvel Studios one's gonna be the big one, with Thor and Captain America, and they're supposed to unveil the entire cast there, including probably who will be the new Hulk, which we'll get into later. There's a lot of good stuff that day. So, like I said, primarily with the movies there, Let Me In will be there as well, and we'll see some Green Lantern stuff. So we'll start with Stultz this time. Stultz, what are some stuff that from Saturday that you liked?
Oh, all anything Marvel and DC. I have been waiting for a Green Lantern movie so long, all my life, and I am so glad of all the progress that they're doing. I can't wait for that. A trailer, poster, anything. But everything else just pales in comparison to the epicness that is Green Lantern anyway. So,
even like Thor and all that stuff?
Even Thor, I always thought is... Well, Captain America is pure patriotism and iconic. Thor is kind of... I just never find that appealing.
It's definitely going to be the most challenging one to make, I think.
Well, actually, yeah, actually it is. Because think about it. It's Norse mythology in the present time, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to have to try and find a way to mix it together, because they all come together in the Avengers movie, so they're going to have to find a way to kind of combine the two settings, which will be difficult.
Which, by the way, doesn't that make the entire Marvel universe a Norse religion kind of thing? That instead of Jesus, there was Thor?
I think we'll have to wait until the movie comes out to see, because that's a pretty complicated thing that I know from the very get-go was a problem they were having. Was trying to figure out how to fit this in, because especially Iron Man and even the Hulk to a certain degree really kind of established this sort of science-based reality for superheroes, and so to kind of create to add in this sort of mythological person is definitely going to be interesting. So we'll see how that plays out, because I don't know how they're going to do it. So
you never think magic when you think Marvel.
Yeah.
Now at times.
Well, especially with and I think even with, you look at Batman and stuff like that, they've really found a way to kind of make these movies about superheroes seem realistic. Now, once they make, you're right, DC's going to have a lot with Green Lantern and a lot of these characters, it's going to be more challenging to do that. And that's one of the reasons they've had trouble making a Superman movie, I think.
Well, now, wait a minute. Green Lantern is not mythical at all. What are you talking about?
Doesn't he wear a ring that gives him power?
It's scientifically possible in some way.
All right, so we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
that's for the next viral cast.
All right, so Chris, what are some things that you liked from Saturday's big schedule?
I think the big one for me would be the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And the reason is because they're splitting up the movie in two parts.
Right.
And if you remember, The Matrix tried to do this very same thing, and it flopped. Horribly. Not because, because the movie was horrible. But it flopped horribly because they released the first part, and then 3 months later, they did the second part, and it just didn't get that as much, suspense as they were hoping, because they waited 3 months. So now Harry Potter's doing this, but only waiting a year.
Right.
And it is something that kind of, it can either really make or break the series. I mean,
especially it's the last one too, so that's definitely, it's important how you finish it.
Yeah, so if the first part is, gets everybody's attention and it just leaves them in suspense, and they wait a year for the second part and it's just horrible, then that would just cast an overshadow over the whole movie, and that would be one question that I would ask the panel, saying, "Hey, why'd you do this?
Yeah.
Why not just create an intermission like, you know, The Godfather did?"
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, kind of like it was to an interesting comparison, The Grindhouse too, although that didn't do very well. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough when you're trying to split up a movie. I mean, you saw a little bit with Kill Bill, even. I mean, I think a lot of people agree that the first one's better than the second one. And, you know, whether that has to do with the fact that it was split or not, but that's always going to be a challenge for them. Although, I mean, just the trailer for the Deathly Hallows looked really good. So,
Back to the Future did that too, didn't they?
They did, but they made them specifically to be a second and third movie. They never planned on making them one movie, but they did do them only 1 year apart. But yeah, they had planned to make them two movies anyway.
And to go off what Stoltz said with Captain America, Stoltz, yeah, with Captain America, here's another big fear that I had with Superman. Superman is a U.S. superhero,
mm-hmm.
and they changed one of the lines that basically created Superman and just changed it for, you know, to make it worldly, kind of make him a worldly superhero. And my fear is with Captain America, even though he is U.S. patriotism all the way,
mm-hmm.
that they will tone it down so that everybody across, you know, the world will say, oh, you know, he's a superhero for every country, not just for the U.S.
Hmm. I don't know, it's tough because they, I mean, from the synopsis that I read about it, there actually was our partner site, Fused Film, ran the story that I gave him about. Someone had some information about the movies. The synopsis really sounds like they're, I mean, it's the guy who's really patriotic, goes, you know, wants to be in the military, can't, you know, he's too sickly so he can't, but they give him the serum, and he's really just there to fight for America in World War II. So, I mean, to me, it just sounds like it's really going to be pro-Super America, but, I mean, World War II wasn't just about us, it was about the world, so, I mean, I can definitely see, like you said, they might try to make it more, you know, Marvel's definitely been known to kind of do things for the money, so they may try to make it a little bit more overall. I hope they keep it really patriotic, because that's his character, so... We'll have to see about that. So maybe people have a chance to ask him about that. So,
well, Superman is more than a symbolism of the world. It's for all that's good and justice and pure selflessness. Captain America is just America.
Yeah, but I mean, if you ever look at the history of Superman, he's been really kind of pro-America. I mean, weren't there comics where he fought Hitler?
Yep.
Yeah, but that was like two pages long.
Yeah, you know, but if you just look at everything he's done, he's always been... Although, if you actually look at Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman, he's kind of a worldly character. But, obviously, that's a departure from the known canon about him. Although, I love that series. But
I only watched it for Terry Hatcher.
Ah, love it. Dean Cain is such a good Superman, anyway.
Oh, he is.
So I mean, yeah, so definitely, you're right, though. I mean, they tone it down. He even has the colors a little bit, and, you know, I can see it. But, that's something that they're always going to be trying to do stuff like that to make it, because the money overseas is just crazy, so it doesn't surprise me if they try to do something like that. We'll have to see. Yeah, so definitely, like I said, a big day. There's going to be some stuff for Lost. There's a lot of these kind of like fan organization things, which is like the Lost But Not Forgotten panel for things like that, where it's mostly like people who, like, they have the Lost Encyclopedia authors, things like that. So you have a lot of that kind of interesting fan stuff where it's mostly just you talking with other fans. But, you know, that kind of stuff's really cool, too, because it's, I mean, who doesn't like talking about the stuff that they love? So Sunday, obviously infamous for being kind of the light day. I forgot to say that Friday, by the way, is Star Wars Day, so you'll see some Star Wars panels that day.
Yeah, you'll see Dan all over.
Hey, I'm a Star Trek guy, okay? Star Trek. So Sunday's Kids Day, so there's going to be a lot of kids stuff, but there is a few interesting things on there. The one for me is going to be the Castle panel, because I just, you know, Nathan Fillion, I have a guy crush on him. There's also the Browncoats fan group thing, where they're going to have the fans of Firefly come together, which is kind of cool. And then most of the stuff is kind of like fan stuff coming together. But as always, Dave, they're going to finish it off with Buffy the Musical, so... Another Joss Whedon thing, so
classic.
I know.
Yeah.
So Scott, I don't know if I asked Scott about Saturday. So Saturday and Sunday, Scott, what interests you?
Well, Saturday for me is, I think Kevin Smith is on Saturday, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, that to me is everything. That's comics. That's movies. That's, you know, to me, one of the greats You know, I love pretty much everything that guy puts his hands on. So, but so that would be Saturday. Sunday would probably be more. I think they're going to get into some discussion about Red, which should be pretty decent because to me, I mean, I'm not a comic book guy, but you know, I look at things like that. I mean, I'm a Bruce Willis kind of guy. You know, he's my man crush. I have a crush on him, but
okay.
So I think Red's going to be something that grabbed everybody right from the start. So I'm looking forward to that. And then of course I think Sunday has a lot to do with Cartoon Network, which is pretty decent. So get a little bit of a little bit of everything. So
yeah. They have a Red one on Sunday. I missed that.
I think it's more not so much into the movie, but I think it's more comic book based than anything.
So. Oh, okay.
It's not. It has nothing to do with the actual movie, but the fact that you know it's going to be put out there now.
Really, yeah.
Well, to get more fans, I mean, it's again one of those things. I don't know how well it's known. I'm not a comic book reader, right? But, so we'll see.
Yeah, that movie looks pretty cool though. All right. So, Chris, what interests you from Sunday?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
I would say, well, since we're talking about man crushes, I would say David Boreanaz would be my man crush since everybody's given up that secret.
Mine's not a secret.
Yeah, yours isn't a secret.
it's really not.
Wait, what's Boreanaz doing? Is it just because of the Buffy thing, or?
Yeah, just because of Angel. I negate anything he does now. On the show Bones, because that show is just horrible.
Oh, come on. It's all right.
Okay. It's fun to watch after a few beers, but I would say I'm not really a big fan of Glee, but I would just like to talk with everybody and see what is the big deal with it. Because I tried to get into it.
You can ask Dan right now.
I love Glee. But anyway, let's not harp on that. definitely, that's gonna be something I bet it'll be big, even though I don't see how Glee really fits in with Comic-Con, but anyway. So Stultz, what do you like from Sunday?
Well, let me say right now, I feel like the only straight guy here, because I have no man crushes on anyone.
That means you're the most Sunday. Gay. You're the most gay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a whole complete viral cast with you in District 9. You have man crushes, believe me.
You have alien crushes. You have alien man crush.
Yes, that's true.
You love
Lucas. You're exposing me. Be quiet.
Prong
I'm in
crush.
The closet still.
Aww.
No, but Sunday? Oh, God. I watched like two episodes of Buffy the Musical, and I'm still going to go see it. That one I'm pretty interested, just because it feels so wrong to make a musical out of it.
Yeah. But when they did it already, I mean, it's pretty popular. That's why they do it. So.
But the Harry Potter fandom panel, I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah.
Because of the ride and the visiting world of Harry Potter and Universal Studio.
I kind of want to go there. I want to see what that's like.
It's one thing that I'm glad they're adding. I didn't like the Simpsons replacement thing at all, but this one I think is worth it.
You live down in Florida. Have you gone to that yet? The
Harry Potter one? I did not go to the Simpsons one, but I've been to every single ride besides the Harry Potter one. That's new, right?
Yeah, it's pretty brand new. They just opened it.
Yeah, I haven't been. The last time I've been there was like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, I have to say had the best ice cream in the world. The Dippin' Dots.
These things are great. Those are expensive, but they're good.
Yeah, $18 for a souvenir cup.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, we talked about the Tron thing, so we'll keep an eye out to see if there's any other Tron stuff. Like I said, there's last year they did the what is it called? The arcade.
Scavenger Hunt.
Or was the arcade last year or the year before?
No, last year was the arcade.
Right, and then they also did the Scavenger Hunt, and they've done some pretty cool stuff with that. So hopefully they'll do something else pretty big, since it looks like with this new Tron viral, let's go and skip to that. The Tron viral... has the postcards that were sent out to people for some games that are from NCOM, and it had some like barcode kind of thing on the bottom where, you know, no one really knows what it means. And
yeah,
so hopefully we're looking to see, since you know, Comic-Con is just a little over a week away. We're going to see, hopefully, if it leads someone towards that, and they do another arcade thing or something. But it looks like it's, I think they're leading, these things are leading up to the Comic-Con. What do you think, guys?
I mean, it's one of those things where...
Oh.
No, go ahead, Stoltz.
Yeah, I actually hope what most virals like to do, I hope this Tron viral with all the interactivity, mm-hmm. with like the badges and the postcard and stuff, mm-hmm. I hope it goes to a point where you feel like you were actually part of the movie in some way. That's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I think makes a great viral in the first place.
Yeah. Well, in order to make that part of the movie has to be based about a bunch of people running around looking for stuff. So I don't think that's going to be part of it. But, you know, you look at, you know, Wiki Bruce articles and stuff that layered all the pieces together.
Right.
And as cool as the Tron viral has been, I honestly think all it's going to do is lead us to another website.
Yeah.
And that was the last one that was just like, oh, you know, here's this huge thing. And all it really did was just led us to a picture. It was a picture of somebody walking up a drawbridge type of a thing. So, and I think that this is going to do is just lead to another, yeah. You know, if I've got my card in front of me now and I'm looking at it and I said, all right, well, you don't need a blue light to see the dots. I can see the dots in the back. You don't need a blue light to see the lines on the front. They're there.
Right.
But what's it going to lead to?
Probably
another website.
That's the thing is, even when they've done a few things where you've actually gotten some stuff, like they had the drop locations, and so you actually got some souvenirs from that, and they had that one, which was part of that one with the picture revealing from the puzzle. You actually had invitations to go see, I think it was a trailer or something like that. I forget now; it's been a while. Where you got there's only in a few locations, and like they were like snatched up right away. So it's like even the ones where you get to do something kind of cool, it's so few people actually get to have that option. So,
well, because they're not simple. They're they're far from simple type of a viral marketing, but they don't they build up this whole thing of like, oh my god, there's something new, I got a postcard in the mail,
right?
But what's it gonna do? And that, to me, that's all it does. It's just gonna keep leading you to website after website after website. You're not looking at Dark Knight type viral where it's bringing you out into the streets and it's lighting up buildings. It's just website after website. So
yeah, but I mean, like I said, they've done a few things here and there where they've tried to make it more about, like I said, there's they had a few screenings of the trailer, and then you've gotten some actual souvenirs, and they had a
game. But that's all it is. You know, I mean, souvenirs are like, look at who got souvenirs. You look at people like, Alex, from First Showing. You look at, our Nick, what souvenir did you really get?
Right. I mean, I agree. It's something crazy. But I mean, there's not much you can really do, though. You can't start like, we're going to give everyone a Tron light sickle. you can't really do that kind of stuff.
Hey, you never know. They could.
They might do one. That'd be awesome. They had the ones that were on sale that we talked about, but some guy actually pimped his those out to make an actual Tron light sickle, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, that's always a tough thing with these virals is to try to figure out, how are you going to make it interesting? Like the 2012 one took more of a contest kind of feel to it, where it was about, you had a chance to win a lot of stuff if you were involved.
Which is true, because you did have that chance to win a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and the contests were hard. So you get two things. You get a hard contest, mm-hmm. and then you get a
backstory
decent
prize. Too. And you get a backstory, too.
Oh, you get a hard contest, you get a backstory, and then what do you get in the final run? You get to be, the post-world leader. You get to get trips to, Mexico and the Mayan ruins.
Yeah.
But with Tron, you've got these hard clues, and you're like, oh, God, what do all these dots mean? And they're going to turn into be...
That's
a website based on, Flynn's son. This doesn't seem to be like the payout is good.
And everyone's trying to do their own little thing, so it's always going to be a little different. And you still have time, obviously, for them to do more. But
of course.
And that's always the thing, is like trying to figure out how is it going to make yours special. I mean, you saw the Star Trek one was very, very complicated, and it gave you a little bit. I think they had one thing where there was like a screening with Leonard Nimoy or something like that. But, like it was so detailed, and so sometimes it's really just for the ARG guys. It's really for those guys who love playing the games, and they don't even need necessarily like these contests. I think 2012 was such a non ARG player conscious movie that people kind of said, they were like, look, if we want to make this viral, we have to give a lot of incentives. Whereas things like Tron and even District 9, they didn't need a lot of incentive for you to play the game. because it's the concept's already there. People already love this stuff and the idea. Whereas 2012 is such a, people just think of it as a mindless action film. So in order to get people involved in it, you need to have something real, a lot more incentives. And that's kind of been Sony's thing a lot, especially is this, the incentive concept for it.
True.
And so, I mean, I just think just every movie is going to have their own style. They're going to look at who's going to play the games and what can they actually get away with. Believe me, I'm sure if Sony knew that people would play the 2012 game and they wouldn't have to give away a trip to Cancun, they would. But I think they realized that the only way people, you get a lot of people involved, but I still thought it was well done because obviously if you're going to promote yourself, you're going to, you know, you're going to start pimping out the movie while you're promoting yourself to win a trip. So they knew what they were doing. That's always the kind of thing, is try to know your audience and try to know what's going to get them excited to be involved. I mean, you see a lot of people are excited about this. Look at the Super 8 thing. I mean, they haven't done anything in terms of like promotional stuff and people are just jumping all over it. So it's just,
everybody jumps on everything when it's early too. So
yeah, especially with JJ.
Tron got to the point to where, you know, it was early and everybody loved it. And oh my God, look at this. We got two websites. We got this, we got that.
I think the Comic-Con stuff was really what set it off.
Oh my God, huge. And yeah, whether JJ's going to do anything Super 8 or, you know, whoever his marketing people are going to do anything out in Comic-Con, I don't know. But
right,
it just seemed like for Tron to build it up as big as it did for, you know, two Comic-Cons in a row of putting something out there. And right now, I got a postcard that, you know. I got a piece of paper that, you know, hey, look at that. They spelled my name right. So. We'll see. But like you said, they've been doing pretty damn well for something that was spit out 2 years prior to its release. But
yeah, it's always tough, yeah, when you try to do it too early.
Just seems like, you know, a little bit more is needed than a new website every 2 months.
Like I said, they still have time. I mean, a lot of the 2012 stuff came out pretty late. So, I mean, they still have time.
Sure.
What are you, the two Chris's, any of you guys have thoughts on the Tron viral?
Nope. I told you, I just think it needs to get more interactive.
Yeah.
Instead of just, I mean, so far it's been a little bit of a disappointment. Every step.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to kind of look back on it too. I mean, and once it's over, kind of say, okay, what did this all lead to, and what is this all about, and stuff. So, I mean, sometimes, yeah, once it's all over, it'll be interesting to look back on it and see where did they messed up, what could they've done better. It's 42 Entertainment, so I mean that's why a lot of people were expecting a lot of stuff from these guys because they did Dark Knight. So we'll have to see. All right, so kind of moving on to our next other viral big story. Obviously, Super 8 had an update a little while ago. It's actually the beginning of the month, but we've had so much, talk about it, and we still get a lot of hits on our sites about it because people just keep wanting to look at it. For anybody who's been kind of following it, there's that website called Scariest Thing I Ever Saw, and it's basically a remote computer for an old PDP-11, which is for a person, which, you know, none of this stuff is actually sure, but it's some guy named Dan Morris, who, at least in real history, actually was someone who was connected to UFOs in some way. And so then on the site, there was ended up being a new printout, because there's a printout button on there, a new printout of a picture of what looked like to be a projection of a part of the frame that you see in the trailer, but also had stuff in the background. And so people really looked into that, and they saw that you could actually find some of that stuff in the background on Craigslist. And because one of the things in the picture shows a zip code that's West Virginia, it's in the West Virginia section of Craigslist and has the exact same things. And I was like, that's pretty crazy, they were able to find that stuff. And then there's a guy, they're able to see some stuff because some of the pictures have a reference to a memorial service. And then basically from this information, you can look at our site about it. They figured out that the guy's name is Josh Minker. There's actually a website for him, which is called Hoochlin and Minker. And it's about how much, you know, his love for fish, basically. And that's pretty much where it ends. And so that's the big thing, is like trying to figure out, you know, how does this connect to everything? This looks like, obviously, it's in modern time. You know, so, I don't know, there's so many questions about, you know, what does this all mean? Is this, you know, is this the new Slusho kind of thing, you know, where they're just going to have random sites that you think are going to go somewhere, but they don't? I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
It's definitely, like, following the, you know, not to go back to last year, but my 12 days of viral. It follows the rules because Hook, Line, and Maker is that poor-looking site that may not lead to anything. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as some of the stuff that we've been following, this is the most difficult one.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, you look at the trailer. Yes, there's stuff flipping through the screen. How the hell did you get scariestthingiiversaw.com on that?
Yeah,
then you get, you know, once you move into that, then you get these people that are picking out these codes that don't mean shit to the normal person. They're getting all these pictures out. Then on top of that, you're picking out, you know, articles and stuff for sale on Craigslist. It's like, to me, like you had mentioned, you know, just when we were talking about Tron, that Tron was for the ARG people. But to me, this is like it. This is, you know, what these guys look up to.
This is for the obsessive people.
Oh, my God. The unfiction guys and stuff like that are just going nuts on this stuff, and they're doing a hell of a job.
Definitely,
But how the hell did you get to this point? How did you even think of... I mean, it's funny because it's like I slowed down the trailer, you know, and I slowed it down, and I still can't get the scariest thing I ever saw out of that. So it's amazing some of these, you know... These folks just can nail it, but to me, this is the most trickiest viral I think we've seen. Not the most detailed, but the most trickiest one to get to that next level.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's JJ, and he, like I said, very similar to Cloverfield, where you never knew what was really real. There's no confirmation. There's no, you know, like the District 9 experience, you know, things like that. There's none of that kind of stuff. So you never know what's real, what's not real. I mean, and this is actually, you know, this character, if it's a character... Josh Minker, this whole thing is about him trying to sell his mom's stuff after she died. Like, right. like if this is real, like we're messing with this guy, you know. I mean, because there's an email on his website, so you can email him. So if this is real, I mean, I doubt it is just because of all the coincidences. But if for some strange...
Well, you got to look at it, too. Yeah, I mean, if this was the fact... I mean, obviously the site, I would assume the site has got to be legit and ready to go. Because if it was some guy trying to sell his mom's stuff, he'd post something on the main page.
Right.
You guys got to stop.
But I think also, I mean, there's a lot, and there's so many different clues. Like, I mean, the fact he doesn't give a price for any of the stuff, and all the little things. You know, there's so many different things that make it so it's pretty obvious. But you know, technically, we don't know. And so I think it's really interesting to see, you know, the fact that that's what JJ likes to do, as we've seen with even the Star Trek to a certain degree. They did that, but especially with Cloverfield. I mean, I don't think we ever got confirmation of what we know. Even though we knew, we never got confirmation as to what websites were real. I think even the 1808 site was probably the only one that we got confirmation on. Even that was kind of vague. So even though we knew what sites were real, we technically never got confirmation. So that's kind of the same concept. And I kind of like that. I mean, not every viral can be like that, but I like that this is what they do, and this is what people love. And you got to have kind of both. You got to have those sort of like, that's why I thought, you know, to have the District 9 and the 2012 one going at the same time was great. Cause you had District 9 was a little different. And then 2012 was more like commercial, I thought. So it's kind of cool to have both at the same time. I want to know what our guest Chris has to think about the two virals.
I read the article with the Craigslist post, and the first thing that popped in my mind, and I know this might find really strange, was the Transformers movie when Shia LaBeouf's character tried to sell his grandfather's stuff on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what popped in my mind, is saying of, you know, me, you know, of course these things are going to have to tie into this movie, but I'm just thinking that they saw the Transformers movie and said, hey, we, you know, let's try that and see where it goes, see how many hits we get on these Craigslist posts.
Right.
And so, you know, that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
Inspiring.
With, yeah. So,
yeah, I think you just can't do eBay, obviously, because that always has a time limit. So Craigslist is like the perfect place to do that kind of stuff, because like they didn't have to put a price on there. It's just, you just post it on there, and then, you know, people, you know, I don't know how long you're able to keep stuff on there, but you're able to keep stuff on there for a pretty long time. So, you know, if you're going to try to do something like that, where you're trying to pretend to sell something, that's the perfect place to do it. Yeah, and so that's kind of the two virals we're still covering. Technically, we're still covering Inception, but we haven't had any updates on the actual viral in forever. It's kind of died out, especially since the movie comes out.
It's probably not even going to need it.
Yeah,
that's one of those films.
Well, Dark Knight didn't need. Dark Knight didn't need it either. So,
well, the Dark Knight didn't need it, but the Dark Knight still talked about. I think with Inception, from what I've been hearing, you're not even going to care about the viral marketing of the film. Oh, yeah. It's just gonna, whatever. That film was, you know,
it has 100%, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, Dark Knight, you knew what you're getting. In Inception, you have no idea what you're getting.
I still get people saying I have no idea what this movie's about. Although
I know what it's about, and I'm still confused.
Yeah, on a very basic level, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's, you know, they have a machine that can let people go into your dreams, and they steal stuff from you from your dreams. I mean, that basic concept, I think, is pretty clear, I thought. But, yeah, a lot of people still have no idea what it's about. And it's weird because I worry about, like, I think it was Surrogates I was thinking of, where people were still really confused about what the movie was about, and it didn't do that well. The thing is, though, Inception, because of the pedigree of the people behind it, and because it's just, like I said, it has 100% on Rotten Tomato, I think that shouldn't hurt it. I think it should do well. And it looks great. I mean, just look at the trailers. You're like, holy crap, this looks awesome. So that's the one thing I worry about with the movie, is that because of the confusion behind it, I've seen in the past where that's hurt movies. But I think that there's so, you know, between Christopher Nolan being behind it and the look of it, I think people are going to be... that almost makes people drawn into it more, as opposed to where Surrogates, it kind of got people to avoid it. It's weird. The same concept kind of gets people more interested in the movie. So yeah. I think it'll do very well.
I think it will, especially if it has Leonardo DiCaprio. But we'll go beyond that. But the second thing is I actually caught like kind of a behind the scenes of Inception, and how Christopher Nolan really tried to portray a world of memories, and how the whole point of the movie, from what I've got from that little behind the scenes, was that Leonardo DiCaprio is trying to find the truth about something like a bomb's going off, or I forgot the. What he's trying to go after a kind of a memory, and what it's hard to do is that once he gets into someone's mind, he has to distinguish between what's just, you know, dreams and what's an actual memory.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's going through people's minds, he's turning these dreams into memories, and that's what he doesn't want to do. It makes it harder for him to figure out what the information he needs.
That's interesting.
And so he gets you know, kind of a partner. I can't remember her name.
Ellen Page?
Ellen Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she who still looks like she's 12 years old. and he kind of takes her under his wing, but as he's taking her under his wing, you know, all these things start to happen where dreams are actually becoming memories, and memories are becoming dreams. So I think the confusion will be as people are watching it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be more confused leaving the theater going, okay, I don't understand. I don't, was that scene an actual memory that he's supposed to have, or was it a dream?
That should be interesting.
Well, you have to watch the movie again.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
It's going to be one of those things to where you look at Memento, and the whole film of Memento was just this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And at the very end, you didn't have to be like, oh, God, I got to watch it again because I don't understand it. He's not going to do that. He's not going to make the very end of the film where you're going home and you're questioning it. He's going to make the very end of the film, son of a bitch, why didn't I see that before?
Yeah.
And that's what he does best.
Right.
You know?
That'll make you want to see it again.
I'm not saying you're not going to want to go see the film again, but I'm saying
it's not because you're confused. Yeah. No, yeah.
How many countries did he choose? I think this is by far, I could be wrong about this, but this movie was filmed in more countries than any other film that was ever been created.
Yeah, I heard something about that where his locations were just crazy.
I think he's got about 10 or so, but.
Yeah,
but no, I highly doubt this. This is probably, I mean, people are using the words masterpiece when they're talking about this film. So
yeah, I mean, it's getting just crazy reviews.
He's not going to leave you in the dust. You're going to look at this film and probably just be like, that was the biggest mind fuck since, you know, the first Saw, Memento, all those kind of movies that just make you kick yourself in the ass because you didn't see it.
Right.
You know, like, you know, I'll even throw in The Village, you know, if people want to talk smack about that. But, you know, It's just going to hurt you. I think that's what this film's going to do. It's just make you realize how dumb we are.
Yeah. No, it looks. Yeah, it looks really, really good, and the reviews have been great. So I'm sure we'll definitely. Who's doing the review for it? Didn't somebody call? Somebody called. Yeah. So Scott will have the review for it. So
I'm doing the review unless Ian gets it overseas first.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Ian in a while, so we'll have to see how that is. But yeah, so we'll at the very least we'll have the review for it this weekend, if not earlier. But if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, you'll see 17 positive reviews.
I don't even care about Rotten Tomatoes reviews.
Oh well, I want to see Armand Wright's review. I want to see how bad it is, because that guy is notorious for having the opposite review of pretty much everyone in America.
I think he was the one that brought down Jonah Hex.
He was the one that he was the one that liked Jonah Hex, and then he thought Toy Story 3 was bad.
Are you serious? Did he really like Jonah Hex?
Yeah, no, he did. He gave it a positive review, and then he gave Toy Story 3 a bad review.
What?
Yeah, he's notorious.
Is he seeing different movies that we do not know of?
Go to Rotten Tomatoes. It's what he's known for. He almost does it on purpose, because if you actually read his reviews, they're not very good. Like, he doesn't like.
No, really they're not. But they're usually like they're.
He doesn't explain. He doesn't explain anything.
Yeah, we won't get involved in Armand White's kind of discussion, but he leans towards one type of film and whatever. Yeah. What a douche. Anywho.
Anyway. But yeah, no, I went to LA Film Festival a couple weeks ago, and I saw Christopher Nolan talk about, we watched Pink Floyd's The Wall, and then, because that's his biggest.
Trust me. Yeah. I've watched it so many times, and I still don't know.
No one knows what it's about. But anyway, so and so that's a big influence on him. So yeah, he was mentioning there too about, in general, because he actually screened this movie for his crew for Inception. But the idea of memories, what's a real memory, how you manipulate memories, that's a big thing in that movie, and that's a big thing for him. So we'll definitely see that.
The wall had to do with shaving your nipples.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the entire plot. the music's good in that movie, though. But yeah, it's something I'm sure if I were high, I would have appreciated even more.
Exactly. That's the one thing I haven't done.
Right, so
there's one thing on your to-do list in life.
I know, there you go.
Oh, I'm good.
Maybe they should do that for Blazed Reviews. For
actually Blazed Reviews. tumblr.com.
Yep,
that was a shameless plug.
Yeah, there you go. Two of our forum members.
Yeah, I was very confused by the whole The Wall was his purpose, and I don't know. It's like, you know what? You're better than that, but whatever.
Anyway. But I think if you see that, and I bet you if you watch that and watch Inception, I think you'll see, maybe not like visual.
Oh, please, don't let the Inception be the new hype movie.
No, I'm saying, like, it's not like, you won't see visual things, but I think you'll see some influence. You'll kind of understand where it's coming from. It's sort of like taking The Wall and making it comprehensible. That's kind of what Inception might be trying to do. I'm not sure. We'll see.
That should be his next venture.
A remake of The Wall?
Yep. Isn't that reboot. Nolan's first film that's focused a lot on special effects?
Nolan's?
And CGI. Nolan's. That's Nolan's first film. It's like Robert Zemeckis' 2000 first doing a 2012 kind of thing.
What? No.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Roland Emmerich has done a lot of special effects movies.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
I know.
That's all he does.
That's what he's known for.
I've never seen him do that. That's the only movie I haven't from him that I haven't watched Memento. Okay. I've watched Dark Knight.
Wait, hold on. Hold.
Are you talking about Nolan or are you talking about Roland Emmerich?
Nolan.
Yeah, well, yeah, Nolan. I mean, well, it depends on if you consider Dark Knight to be special effects, but yeah. No, I agree. I mean, look at Memento and a lot of his work. Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty real world. But even this movie, I mean, like we said, all those locations, I mean, he really tries to keep it real in terms of what you actually see. There obviously has to be special effects. Look at this trailer. But, as much as he can, he seems to be someone who really likes the realness of stuff, you know, so that's why we do all the location shoots and everything, so. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely his first venture into doing like really a lot of CGI in a film. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. You know, it's really kind of that's what people are calling it, like a high end blockbuster film. So,
the special effects are probably going to be background once the plot is revealed, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's what you really should be. I mean, unless you're Michael Bay, that's how it should be.
Which he's not,
thankfully. I want to see Michael Bay's Batman.
Oh God!
That'd be so hilariously horrible. All right, so we'll finish up with The Buzz, as a lot of people know.
The Buzz.
The Buzz. Brought to you by Budweiser. No, we should tell them I'm a sponsor for The Buzz. So that's our weekly article. We're talking about the biggest news stories of the week that everyone's talking about. So obviously, I think the big thing that just we had some more news about today that everyone is talking about is Edward Norton, about how he's not going to be returning for Avengers to play the Hulk and slash Bruce Banner. And you know, Kevin Feige, who's the president of Marvel Studios, he had said it was not about money, because a lot of people said it was, kind of like Terrence Howard not coming back for Iron Man 2. He said it, you know, it was about the fact that they were looking for someone. He actually said they wanted a name actor, like a, you know, but he said he wanted someone that would work better with, you know, in the group. And we were kind of, everyone was a little skeptical of it. And then today, Edward Norton's agent came out and talked about how pretty much had this. It reminded me of Gilbert's message towards LeBron James after he left. It was sort of just saying, you know, he's completely wrong about how Edward Norton had been. They had really gotten really far in the process of in bringing him back to show him off at Comic-Con and, you know, actually having the movie and everything. And then they were in negotiations for the price, and, you know, nothing crazy, just regular negotiations. And then all of a sudden, they announced that they were going to go with somebody else. And you know, like, everything's, and Edward Norton is really excited to work with everyone because he's friends with a lot of those guys. So I don't know. It's that's been the big controversy. It's pretty interesting. What do you guys think about it?
I think the other actors might, and the other friends in the Avengers movie and stuff, I think they might leave because of him. If they really are really good friends.
Yeah, it's a lot of money though. So.
No one's gonna leave because of that.
Yeah, no, I disagree.
It depends on how much loyalty they have.
I don't think they're that good at friends.
Loyalty, schmoyalty. It depends on how big your paycheck is. Norton to me is not Bruce. You know, he's not the Hulk. I'm sorry. He's just not. He doesn't fit the bill. He doesn't just look it.
You haven't even seen the movie.
So, no. It doesn't matter. Looking at him. Yeah, that's right. Way to call me out. No, but Eric Bana looked
like Bruce Banner.
He fit it perfectly, and like you had mentioned before we started, you know, the running joke is to bring Eric Bana back, but bring Eric Bana back. He didn't ruin the movie.
That'd be interesting if they did that. But what is Bruce Banner supposed to look like?
No, it's not so much what Bruce Banner is supposed to look like. You look at you look at Norton as, I'm sorry, he's a great actor. Mm-hmm. He is a fantastic actor, and I don't want to say anything bad about comic book movies, but you can't take this great actor and toss him into comic book movies. And you know what? I'm going to jump out ahead of things too, and I'm going to say, you know, that with Bana directing Thor, just to me, it's just like, come on, seriously? You can't take these great actors and put them in a comic book role. You can't. I'm sorry.
What about Robert Downey Jr.?
He's not a great actor. I'm sorry.
He's really great at playing one person. What are you talking about?
I liked him in the Bing Bang Boom or whatever
was. Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss Bang Bang. That was awesome, by the way. Yeah, but really. But you know, you can't take these Oscar performers, these huge actors that are known for these like Oscar type roles, and throw them into comic book movies. I'm sorry, you can't. I'm not. I won't.
So you didn't like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man?
No, I did not, and that's why he's not coming back.
Because he was there for three movies. The third movie is what ruined it. But you know, I thought he was great.
Like, oh, whatever. You know what? I liked him in the first one. The second one, third one, they sucked. All right. I can't see these huge name actors like Ed Norton playing a comic book Hulk.
He's not playing Hulk. He's playing Bruce Banner.
Whatever. You know what I mean. It just seems like a waste of time. And
you're going against the grain.
I'm not going against the grain. I'm just saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, I mean, I'm not saying like you're doing it on purpose, but obviously other people would disagree with you.
Oh, I'm sure people are going to hugely disagree with me, but he is Oscar calibrated type of an actor. And then you bring him in, and not that he's...
So we can't have Denzel Washington play Bruce Banner, is that what you're
saying? You know how I feel about Denzel, but I don't know. To me, it just seems weird. Like, again,
Morgan Freeman? Morgan Freeman's going to be Bruce Banner?
He has to be. He'd probably do a better job than... Not that I'm saying he's doing a better job. To me, just Ed Norton is a high-trained actor. save him for...
Well, that's the whole point, is to try to elevate these movies to something more than just, you know, comic book fodder. It's the idea is that to make these movies legit. I mean, that's part of the reason why I think Iron Man works so well, is because Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor and he's perfect for that role. I definitely agree that there's certain roles where you wouldn't want that, like Superman. Like, I would never want Superman to be a big-name actor, because it takes away from the character, you know? Like, exactly. I can't think of him as Clark Kent or Superman as long as I'm thinking of him as being, you know, Tom Cruise or something, you know, like, but I don't know if I feel that way about Bruce Banner. That's the only thing. So,
well, you have to take,
you could take Kenneth Branagh and you could take Ed Norton and let those two make their own film, because I'm not looking forward to Thor one bit either. So,
wow. But the guy playing Thor though isn't a big name actor.
No, I'm not saying that, but you look at Kenneth Branagh is.
There's nothing wrong with having, if anything, you can't be upset about people having side roles that are big like that.
I don't know. Just to me, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, granted, Thor is a godly type of person and Shakespearean is Kenneth Branagh's forte, but right. I don't know. I don't want it.
You want a bunch of no-name actors playing everything?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what I want, but I don't want these huge Academy Award winning people doing comic books.
Alright.
Just don't.
And what if they end up getting another, of course they'll get another person to play Bruce Banner, but they end up looking exactly like Edward Norton.
It's not about the look, though. He's talking about the pedigree.
It's not the look.
So you're talking about the pedigree, like, of the person.
Right, but I'm the complete opposite. I don't know. It's like, to me, I don't see... I don't know. I haven't been, like, thrilled with superhero movies.
So you went...
Look, my last superhero movie was, you know, Christopher Reeves as Superman. I don't know. It's like, I'm not even a fan of Chris Evans as Captain America.
Well, Chris Evans isn't... If anything, Chris Evans is definitely not an Academy Award-winning actor.
There it is. I'm narrowing it down right now to the fact that, other than Michael Keaton, I don't want anybody to play a superhero. There. I'm done.
My God.
I want Michael Keaton to play everybody.
You're so cynical. So you want Channing Tatum to play everyone. That's what you want.
I wanted Channing Tatum to play Captain America.
There you go. That actually might work. Anyway. Well, that was an interesting side note.
What's a continuity? Wait, there's a continuity problem that I just realized right there. Johnny Storm. And he's going to look a lot like Captain America.
Well, Johnny Storm, there's never been any kind of connection between these new Marvel films and the Fantastic Four films, so I don't think it's a problem. I mean, obviously it's weird that they're both Marvel, but they have, and they're actually going to reboot Fantastic Four anyway, so it's not a problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, that's a little, that's going to be a little confusing.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're going to reboot it anyway, because if you look at the films, they're made by Fox, and so they have no actual connection with the new Marvel universe, so... They can do whatever they want, really, but they're going to reboot it anyway, and so it'll all work pretty nicely. Go ahead, Chris.
No,
other Chris.
No, not you.
I think a problem that they're going to run into right off the back is a lot of people, as well as myself, who do watch comic book movies, is that when you switch the actor of the main character so many times, people will lose interest.
Yeah.
Perfect example would be the Punisher. I think Thomas Jane played that part perfectly, even though the movie was horrible.
I agree.
But when they switched to, I think it was Ray Stevenson, it just ruined the movie completely.
But at the same time, you talk about switching characters. Look at how many times Batman's been played, and the newest Batman is one of the highest acclaimed Batmans ever. So
but there are different series.
It's the plot of the movie. It's the writing of the movie. It's the description of the character. It's the visual of the character.
But
the new Punisher looked like shit compared to Thomas Jane.
That's true.
But the acting, and the acting of the characters and stuff like that were not in the new Punisher that were in the Thomas Jane Punisher. They weren't in the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. It has nothing to do with switching the characters. It's how are you going to continue to write this movie? Are you going to write it as a shit character? Are you going to change the character? Are you going to change the visual of the character? I mean, you look at G.I. Joe. I'm sorry. I was a big advocate of G.I. Joe films. You change the character look of G.I. Joe, you got shit. You know, you had some decent actors. You had some horrible actors. but you change the look and the feel of G.I. Joe, you change the history of G.I. Joe, the film bombed.
Well,
and then you come out and you take a movie like The A-Team, and you kept it 99% true, and it did great. I mean, not as good as it could have done, because you went against, you know, friggin' Toy Story, you dumbasses. But, you can't... I don't think changing the character does anything, because to me, changing the character helps.
Well, I think what it is really is that you're changing... When you change the actor, it's... I think it's more implying something more about the overall production. Sure. I do agree that changing your character is kind of weird, although, you look at the Batman movies, the original series where they went through three different Batmans, I mean, it isn't because they kept changing the Batman, and it's because the movies just kept getting progressively worse. And so, I mean, but I think it says something about when you're willing to change the actor for, especially if it's for something like, you know, because of the money or because of, you know, something silly like that, it says something about the production, so therefore that there's a good connection there. I mean, Punisher is a great example, too. I think Punisher, even this Punisher, would have been better with Thomas Jane, but the fact that they were willing to go with another guy and completely just revamp everything showed that they weren't willing to, you know, to stick with what they had, that worked out, at least on a cult level.
True, but you got to look at it, too, that if they stuck with that plot of the new Punisher and they stuck with Thomas Jane, would the film still be good? Probably not.
I don't know. I personally actually like Punisher, the one with Thomas Jane. It's cheesy, it's a little over the top, but I loved it, partly because of that. And he's so great in that, as that role. So, I don't know, yeah, it's always a challenge whenever you have to worry about an actor being changed. I mean, for you guys who saw Iron Man 2, did you have a problem with Terrence Howard being played by Don Cheadle, or switching to Don Cheadle?
Well, no, because the rest of the film flopped, and they kept the same character.
I like Iron Man 2, anyway.
No, yeah, no, it was, I mean, good, but the thing is that Don Cheadle played the character good. He played it almost exactly as Terrence Howard's.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle's also ranks into one of my high...
Sure, he's a really good actor.
He's a high-caliber actor playing a comic book hero, so I don't like...
You don't like it anyway.
Exactly.
So definitely a lot of issues there. So we'll see how that turns out. We should know, because that was the whole thing. They're supposed to bring out everyone for Comic-Con. So we should know by next... what day was that on? I forget now. Friday, I think. Or Friday or Saturday. So we should know by next week when who the new one is. And I think it would be hilarious if it was Eric Bana played him. They could. You never know.
Pauly Shore.
It's a good thing I'm interviewing him then. Yes.
Dear God.
Anyway, so some of the buzz news to kind of round everything out. James Bond. We had two different James Bond stories. First of all, the big MGM fiasco where they're just bleeding money and they're going to file for bankruptcy or something. I don't know. It's just they're in complete disarray. The new Bond film is going to be put on hold because of that. And there was actually a report earlier in the week that it was pretty much completely canceled and that Daniel Craig wouldn't be coming back, but now we hear that it looks like it's just on hold and they'll come back. I mean, how important is it? I don't know who you guys have seen the new series of Bond movies, but how important do you think it is to keep Craig there? Sam Mendes is a good director. He's going to be doing that one too. I'll start with Chris, since he hasn't talked to a lot.
My thing is that I think they're getting to the point where once they find a movie that is huge and they try to make a series about it, I think when they did kind of a prequel to the original James Bond with the new James Bonds that are out, I think that was fantastic. Even though I'm a huge fan of the original James Bonds with... oh man, I can't even think of his name now.
Sean Connery.
Yes.
George Lazenby. I know you love him.
He's the original.
Yeah. But that I mean, with MGM going filing bankruptcy, it just kind of, well, what happens to the James Bond series? Is it going to be bought out to someone else? Is that going to be good? Is that going to be bad? I know that you have Nolan on directing a Bond film. Mm-hmm. That just says to me that, you know, Nolan's a great director, but he's a director in kind of putting feeling into the movie. And like, you know, Scott said before the podcast, that James Bond is all about getting the women and beating the bad guy. That's it. There's really no extra thought around it. It's that enough. It's kind of a Michael Bay kind of movie with, you know, 10% of the explosions. I mean, that's all that James Bond movies are. He's just a kind of a womanizer, and he gets the bad guy. But mm-hmm. now that it's might be sold out and sold to, you know, some other place, and Nolan maybe directing it, I think it might be taking a turn for the worse. Especially when I think can't think of his name now with the new guy playing James Bond. I think Daniel Craig did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I really like Daniel Craig as the new guy. It'd be interesting to see. I definitely agree that Nolan is not the right director for the series. And yeah, like I said, Scott mentioned that you need someone who's really kind of more about getting the visuals in. You need a writer who can write really quick, witty stuff, maybe a nice little plot with a little bit of a twist, nothing crazy. And then you just need a good director who can really do the visuals right, and then you're good to go. I mean, you really don't need Christopher Nolan, you know, directing it. And I'm trying to think of a really high-end writer, but, you know, like, I don't need some crazy stuff going on. You know, M. Night Shyamalan's James Bond, I don't need that. I don't think Nolan would direct it anyway. He just mentioned that he wants to, but so, I mean, granted, he has the power that he probably could, but hopefully he doesn't do that.
Well, I mean, but think about it. You're watching a James Bond trailer from the director of The Dark Knight, James Bond. Dead or alive.
No, it'll sell it. It'll sell it. But I don't think I'd want to see it, though. I mean, it's not a Bond movie. If Christopher Nolan directs it, it'll be a great movie, I'm sure. It won't be a Bond movie, and that ruins it.
No, there's no... I mean, if you look at Nolan doing a Bond movies have no thought. There's none. It's a bad guy. It's a good guy. There's a woman. It's plain and simple.
He gets the bad guy. It beats the woman. Wait, that's not right.
There is absolutely zero reason. There's zero reason for thought. And oh, God, it's like, to me, here's, you know, again, I'll probably get more grief and shit like that, but to me, Daniel Craig is James Bond. He's my favorite James Bond. I've seen every single James Bond film. Daniel Craig, Casino Royale, were like the perfect fit. So you look at, you know, directors like Campbell and stuff like that. I mean, he's doing Green Lantern. There's no thought plot into Green Lantern. Bring him, but, you know, just Bond, Chris Nolan, I want to do a James Bond film. No, you don't. You really don't want to do a James Bond film. You're putting your name out there, just like you really want to do, you know, the third Batman film, and you disappeared from that, too. So, it's just, MGM would be a fool to let the Bond series go. And I'm sorry, but most people can feel that Daniel Craig is James Bond. He's awesome. He did such an awesome job at doing the film.
I mean, I think with the Bond series, you really need to find someone who captivates that character. In turn, you know, he's suave. Daniel Craig, I don't know if he's so suave, but he definitely has that kind of unemotional kind of way about him, which is really good. You could probably have Keanu Reeves play him in this game.
I'll smack you.
That's why I really like Pierce Brosnan as him, because I felt he had that great kind of like arrogant suaveness to him. Which I felt the original, you know, Sean Connery had. I don't know how much Roger Moore really had that. Although he was good. I think you need to have a little more suaveness in the character a little bit. But I still think Daniel Craig still really embodies a lot of the essential parts of the character.
Well, I mean, you take it like Roger Moore. Roger Moore had like the suaveness.
Yeah, Sean
Connery had the suaveness. Daniel Craig had like the suaveness, but he put the suaveness away for the cool and the tough.
It's a modern version.
It really was. It really is a modern version, and I'm like, it's like from that opening, like just a few minutes of Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, is like, the guy is awesome. Mm-hmm. And to me, I mean, I don't care, whatever. That sounds like weak. Most people put big words into their, you know, movie reviews and stuff like that. But Daniel Craig is James Bond. Mm-hmm. He needs to continue, and if MGM can't see that he needs to continue, find yourself a director. Find yourself a Bourne ultimatum and a Bourne identity type of a director. There's no plot. There's a man on a mission. Get it done. Make it happen.
Have some witty dialogue. You're good to go.
Bourne sanction.
Huh?
There's a Bourne sanction that they could go with another Bourne movie. So
there's so many books. Yeah, there's tons of Bourne books and stuff like that. But
yeah, if you want to do something different, go Bourne.
But you know what? If they're talking Nolan to do James Bond, I'm sorry. Yeah, it might be a cool film, but it's not going to be a James Bond film. And people give, oh, the fact that, you know, this is the first James Bond sequel, blah, blah, blah. That's the reason it failed. Bullshit. You know, I'm sorry. Quantum of Solace was a great film.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it.
You know, it's a sequel. So what? You know, it's not like it's a reboot or anything like that, to use that crap name, but I'm sorry. You know what? It's one of those things to where they're throwing it out there. James Bond is dead, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit. James Bond is not going to be dead. They're going to bring it back. They're going to realize that this film, whatever the next film is, Quantum of Solace has brought in some good money, mm-hmm. and it got bullshit reviews, so they'll be fine. All
right, let's move on. Wait,
look, you have to... Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is that I base on how good or bad a movie is by what it's trying to do and what you go to see it for. Bond movie, I don't think Nolan will deliver what we go to see a Bond movie for.
True.
That's what I'm worried about. I think he might put in this whole little twist, and yeah, it's just...
But at the same time, you could look at somebody like Nolan, who is just like, you know what? I'm going to take a James Bond film, and I'm going to make a James Bond film. So who knows? But at the same time, I don't want to know what Nolan wants to bring to the table of Bond film. I want to know what somebody brings to the table of how are you going to make the camera look good? How are you going to make Daniel Craig look good? Who's going to be the new Bond girl of a film, and how bad of a name are you going to give her?
Exactly.
You know,
Daniel Craig.
Whatever, fine. Bring Megan Fox in. Just give her a cool name and don't make her look retarded. But Nolan could look at it and say, guess what? This is a British legacy. Let's do this. But at the same time,
never know.
Why bother? You know, I don't see him.
Yeah, it's not a challenging film for him, and if it is, then it means he's doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so there's been a lot of interesting stories this week about involving the money that people have been making. I'm not sure if you guys have seen some of these things. I mean, they're talking about, for instance, the money that James Cameron made off of Avatar so far has been reportedly up to $350 million. Isn't that crazy?
I was going to say 270, but that's good.
But
I'm happy. I'm happy for him.
It's just crazy. It's a lot of money. But and then and then you're talking about the cast of the Twilight series, the three main ones. They might make up to $40 million for each of the next two movies.
On which I was told the next movie is almost impossible to make for families.
It's all about how you film it. I mean, it has some interesting stuff going on in there. But there, if you film it the right way, I'm sure you could go
like
around
stomach yeah. eating.
Well, yeah. Again, you have to show that. I mean, the big things are going to be the sex scene that's in the book, and then the birthing scene, which is just kind of insane. So you don't have to show those. I mean, it's not like you're going to ruin the series by not showing some.
I think the next Twilight movie is going to be on Showtime.
Exactly.
Okay, Dan, how are you going to explain Edward ripping a baby out of the uterus and coughing up a whole bunch of blood? How are they going to imply
don't do it.
That?
Don't
you have to imply it?
Ignore it. No, don't. It's not an essential part of the story.
I'm going to explain to you right now for the next film. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're going to do like the Cloverfield thing where that scene is going to be filmed behind a curtain.
There you go.
When it gets to that moment, there's just going to be a little splatter against the screen, and problem solved. History's made.
You don't have to show it at all. Like, I mean, it's not an important, essential part of the story. I'm not even sure why it's in there to begin with, but so no, all you can do is literally just cut that stuff out. It's not really that important. I mean, you can imply the sex scenes. You see it all the time in PG-13 movies where they don't really show the sex scene, and then this birthing scene, you can literally just do things where it's off camera, or you don't even have to show. It's not important. It's not an important part of the story. So
it's a boy. Oh, and by the way, Edward ate her stomach.
Yeah, like who cares? Like it doesn't come back later in the story. It doesn't matter.
I think the whole Jacob and the baby is a little bit controversial.
Well, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a tough thing to show too, because he's supposed to
Dingo and the baby.
He basically falls in love with a baby, but it's like it's not like love. It's like imprinting, which I don't know if you guys actually bother watching the movie, but like
that's how I make our T-shirts. Imprinting,
lacking free will.
Yeah, it really is. It's basically like the people in the Wolves, they can, you basically have a person that you're immediately, you're connected to forever, and doesn't matter, it may not be a romantic thing right now, once it's older it will be though. So that's kind of how it is with the baby. It's really complicated and weird, so it will be interesting to see how they bother. They have to deal with that, so that'll be interesting.
Please, let's not turn
my
this
daughter's
into...
boyfriend is my ex-boyfriend.
Welcome to the Twilight Podcast. Okay. moving on. Thank you.
Nauseous.
Also, have you guys seen the thing for the Harry Potter film? That it was the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. They showed like the sheet that they do, called the net profit statement, and it shows that even though the gross it made in theaters worldwide was almost $1 billion, it technically lost $160 million overall. It's pretty insane. It's just because a really shady, if you go to Deadline, you'll see it there. It's really shady accounting practices, and so that's why you never do, if you're an actor, don't do like profits at the end, because you won't make any money. But I think those are the big ones. And so, yeah, but then, of course, the Spider-Man guy's only making, like, $500,000 for his movie. So it kind of shows you what they care about.
Oh, I'm poor. I have $500,000.
Hey, that goes away fast with taxes and everything. No, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't complain too much about that, I guess.
I will say this, though. The Harry Potter movies can be done. The whole part one, part two thing, there is, since I read the book... There is a, right in the middle of the entire book, there's this really slow setting, this slow scene that they could probably stop it there and then continue on from there.
Yeah, but it's on issue of just whether people are going to be, you know, the cliffhanger thing, or how are you going to do it? How are you going to set it up so that people will be excited for the film, and that the second film isn't kind of let down, like I said, the Kill Bill Volume 2 kind of thing, where, I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it was a little bit of a letdown. All right, I think one of the last things I want to talk about, you guys probably saw the Conan the Barbarian pictures. I'm not so sure how good this movie is going to be. And then probably the last thing I really want to talk about is Chris Columbus is talking about maybe wanting to do a Superman film. What do you guys think about that?
What movies has he done?
I think he did one of the Harry Potters, I thought.
Gremlins. He did Gremlins.
Nice. There we go. Isn't that enough to make him worthy?
Actually, I actually read from another site that he is not going to do the next Superman movie.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. I just heard the reports that he wanted to. I don't know if he. I think it was a rumor that he was going to, but
get Robert Zemeckis to do it.
That's the big thing, though, is, like, you know, who's going to direct? I mean, who do you guys think, from your guys' knowledge of directors, who do you think would be a good director for a Superman film?
Well, I have to say, anyone who's really good with special effects needs to do this, because in the next Superman film, it really, I'm just so tired of Superman always being about kryptonite and being so local things. I want a Superman that's more... out there, more epic as he really is, which I believe would require lots of special effects.
Yeah, definitely. And
someone like the Robert Zemeckis, or it's no, Zemeckis. Robert Emmerich, Roland Emmerich, whoever did 2012.
Roland Emmerich? That would it'd be a disaster film for Superman. That's what it would be. That'd be interesting to see him do it. I know Wolfgang Peterson, a long time, when they were doing the last movie, he was attached to it for a little while. Mick G was attached to that one. I was never really excited about anybody. I thought Bryan Singer was a good choice, though. It was an okay film, but they always throw so many names around. I think Steven Spielberg should just do it. Get it over with. Best character ever should have the best director ever.
Harrison Ford as Superman.
That'd be awesome.
I think that Christopher, I know, but I really think Christopher Nolan needs to do the Superman movie. And the reason why is because you look at the past Batman movies, and as more were being made, they made Batman really, really wimpy. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem now with Superman movies. He's just wimpy. Even with the show Smallville, he's just too wimpy. He's just kind of that guy that you could push over with just blowing on him. Christopher Nolan adds that kind of, I'm tough.
A gravitas to it. Yeah, I mean, he definitely has had to gritty, too, so it, that's one of the things they're talking about with him kind of godfathering the new one and David Goyer writing it, is they're kind of bringing it a little more down to earth. But yeah, you definitely need someone who can really handle all that too. And I think he's someone that can definitely handle it. I don't think it would go too crazy in terms of... that's the biggest problem is Superman. It's like, it's been trying to make forever. It took him forever to make Superman Returns. And we saw the debacle that became with all the people involved and the money that was lost from it. It's just so hard to make a Superman film, I guess, because of his character and the special effects you have to do. So I think that someone who can really kind of handle that kind of stuff, budgetary-wise and stuff, would be Christopher Nolan. I even think J.J. could do it. It'd be interesting to see JJ try to do it. Yeah, you need someone who's. I think you need an established director, definitely, because you need someone who can handle that. You know, a new director who's maybe hot or something. I don't know if that's so good. You need someone who's kind of really done it and really you kind of have knows that they can handle that kind of pressure.
Neil Blomkamp. The lack of CGI is what you need.
You need CGI.
Not as much as you did in that one.
That, we haven't had a lot of it. I mean, you need to find ways. I mean, JJ and Nolan are both fans of practical stuff, too, so that's good. You know, you want someone who can do practical sets. I mean, that's why we never want George Lucas, God forbid, to direct Superman, because it'd just be all CGI. Well, no.
But, you know, Christopher Reeves didn't, you know, he wasn't CGI. Christopher Reeves was, you know, Reeves was green right. screens
that's what
and
I'm saying.
Cables and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
to me, that's what ruined that. It had nothing to do with who's directing it, who's starred in it, whatever. Brandon Routh is an awesome-looking Superman.
Right.
If he got FaceTime, but instead he got computer time.
Yeah, that's always tough, because, I mean, you're talking about some pretty hard-to-do things. I mean, Superman does so much more than a Batman can do, that it's really hard to do it. I mean, I think Spider-Man, a lot of his stuff is digital, right?
But his digital looks good because he has a mask.
Yeah, that stuff's tough. I mean, but
you can hide that. Can't hide a face.
But with Avatar, with the new technology, I think that they could probably do it now.
Whatever. I don't want to see it. I don't care for it because Christopher Reeve didn't have new technology. Christopher Reeve was cables and
I don't you know like, he that movie isn't that great. I mean, it's slow and it's like
look,
whatever.
You look at films like that and you look at films like Star Wars. They're CGI, whatever, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, look better than half the shit you see today.
Well, they use a lot of practical stuff. I mean, so it's not CGI, but
that's what it is. That's what makes it a better film,
right? But they're not Superman. Like, I mean, like that Superman worked because during that time, I don't think it holds up very well, actually, personally. But the Superman film looked really good because you'd never seen anything like that. That was state of the art stuff back then.
So was Star Wars,
right? And that's what I'm saying. But Star Wars holds up because you don't have the extremeness that you have with Superman, like. Because if you look at how they film it so they don't need it like that. Where Superman,
did you say they don't have the extremist stuff? They fly through space and hover on sand. They had every little piece you could build.
But they did it really well.
They had the heat waves and stuff like that that were not...
No, they did it really well. But I'm saying that...
That's what I'm saying. So you take a film like Superman Returns and you ruin it because it was too much CGI. Brandon Routh's face looked fake in 90% of the flying scenes.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
Like I said,
I agree with you because the whole point of CGI. What's the point of CGI if you can tell what's fake or not?
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
But that's the thing is that what's said with the new technology that James Cameron has made with Avatar, it makes it so your face looks better. I think that will help. I definitely think they need to do more practical stuff. It's tough because I think nowadays it's going to look silly. I think if you do too much practical with Superman, because it's going to look like you know that he's holding on to a set. Is it look? You know, it looks fake. I think I even watched Superman. I think it looks fake. A lot of stuff. The 78 version.
But even with Avatar, Sam Worthington close-ups look fake. It's like, why would you do that? Why do you need to do CGI for everything?
Well, I didn't say everything. I agree that they definitely need to scale back on it. But you're gonna have to have it. I mean, if you want to, because people want to see Superman in all of his glory, especially after Returns and everything. People nowadays with Super CGI, people want to see Superman do crazy stuff that Superman can do. He's the most powerful superhero there is. They want to see him use all that. So you're gonna have to do CGI. It's just.
But he did it. He did it before.
No, I don't. I don't
come.
The Christopher Reeve movies do not show you the full on capabilities of what Superman can do. I think
it doesn't matter for what you saw on the screen at that time. You saw what Superman can do,
right? But that's 70s version. It doesn't even hold up. It doesn't hold up.
I guarantee you, if you made a film right now to this day on the visual effect level of Star Wars and the original Superman films, it would do better and it would get better ratings than it would from something that was done on a computer. I'm telling you right now.
Disagree.
I don't disagree because
you can't. Oh, you don't disagree with yourself?
No. I'm just saying. Did you disagree or agree?
No, I disagree. But you said I don't disagree.
You disagree because you disagree. But if you go back and you look at a film like Star Wars, yeah, maybe Christopher Reeves didn't fly at the right angle, and his, you know, he floated down out of some weird.
It's not about the way that they did what they did was technically done fine, and that's not the issue. The issue is that there's so much more that Superman can do, and nowadays people have seen Transformers, they've seen all these films, they want to see what can Superman really do. If you just want to see that stuff, you'll go watch that stuff. You'll go watch the Christopher Reeve version.
But you're taking a film like Superman and you're comparing it to a film like Transformers. Transformers looked decent because Transformers was not people. Transformers right. was robots.
But I don't mean, that's the point.
A film like that and it was great. But if you go back and you compare a film like Christopher Reeve picking up a taxi and throwing it, as opposed to Brandon Routh picking up a freaking space shuttle, Brandon Routh looked like shit. He looked like ass. He looked like shit.
I don't know about that. I think it looked fine, but that's not the point. I mean, you just need to make it look better, but...
Well, go ahead, Chris. with Superman, here's the thing. With the CGI and everything, I think the show Smallville fits it perfectly with all the special effects and everything. Mm-hmm. It looks real. It shows his capabilities. The thing that Smallville is lacking, besides great writers, is that after 10 seasons, I think they're on 11th now, he has still not put on a cape or anything to become Superman. He's still that wimpy little guy who's like, oh, I'm afraid to use my powers because I'm afraid to hurt. That's not Superman. Superman is, confident. I'm using my powers, and I'm going to stop.
Because Smallville is younger, and he doesn't know what he has compared to...
He's not that young. No, the problem is with Smallville is that it's the first three seasons I thought were written very well. And it was a decent series until maybe like halfway through the fourth season, and it was going on a really good track. And you're right, the special effects, like his running and everything, looked really really good. And I think that if they could somehow transfer that into a movie, they'd be fine. You're right though, the writing started really going downhill, and they it's because it's a TV series. They want to keep making money off of it, so that it make it last for longer than it can ever be, and they're never going to have him put on the suit because that's the whole concept of the show, is that he doesn't put on a suit yet. But the character has got to be at least, if it's 10 seasons, he's got to be at least 25, 26 years old. The guy's actually like in his 30s, but the character is in his mid-20s. By then, you have to know what you have. I mean, you know your capabilities. I mean, we've seen it throughout the series, what he's done. I mean, he's by now, you're not oblivious to what you have. So, I mean, and he's totally teetered on that concept of becoming a superhero, and he knows about the concepts of superheroes. Like, you can tell they're just trying to find ways to keep it going, you know, and it's kind of sad. So, I mean, but the inklings at the beginning of that series were really good, and I think they showed a lot of potential for the character of Superman. The first three seasons were written very, very well, I thought, and then I thought that the fourth season is where they started teetering off, especially when they introduced Lois Lane, which is dumb. You don't introduce her that early, but...
I have to say that I think that probably the first one or two seasons were good, but like for the middle of the show, the middle seasons, it was all freak of the week. Oh, this guy got powered by green stuff.
Kind of always like that though. They always had a little bit of that because it's hard to do more than that. But yeah, I mean, they just really started kind of going away, and they started adding characters and doing things that just didn't make sense, and it was just...
Did they bring in the Green Arrow or whatever his name is?
Yeah, yeah, and then the magic stuff, like, the whole thing where they went to China, and, Lana became, like, a witch. It was like, what are you doing? It was so crazy.
Well, that really is the world of Superman. There's a lot of crazy shit that he goes through.
Well, I know, but it didn't look right, because they didn't do it well. They didn't show it well. They could have introduced that stuff a lot better. I thought they just kind of threw it in there.
But
I just want to let you know, as the new guest, Chris, this could be the fourth or fifth viral cast that's going out of schedule because of Superman.
Oh, really?
We always go off with Superman.
It always ends up with Superman discussions.
Really? So really? Go ahead. Well, like Stoltz mentioned that they were bringing the Freak of the Week. But that was the whole point of Superman. Superman met some enemy, defeated him, and that was it. That's the thing. And it kind of really didn't... It had some thought behind it because you were still trying to develop Superman. But that was the whole thing, because Superman fights this god-awful creature from either a distant planet or created by Lex Luthor or whoever, and he defeated him. That was the whole thing, and that's why the first two or three seasons were really good. But after they started bringing in more drama, like Lois Lane and then Lana going off to it became less about his character and more about all the characters around him, and I think that's what destroyed the show. Just like Lois and Clark.
Mm-hmm. Lois and Clark, they got married and everything.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, yeah. That's always a problem when it comes to television is, you know, after a certain while, you're trying to, you're trying to find ways to keep the show going. And sometimes you don't realize that you're killing the show by doing something. So the whole them getting engaged and then getting married in that was kind of something that really kind of ruined that show. Anyway, so that's our Superman topic of the week. anything else you guys wanted to talk about the film news stories this week or Comic-Con, anything? I'll take that as a no. All right.
I will say one thing, though. Just bringing it out of pure randomness, I think Machete is going to be the most awesome movie of the entire year.
I think that not only am I going to go with that, but Machete is being released on my birthday week, so awesome. It's a pure sign of awesomeness, and I need this film. And on that note,
you can't fail. This movie cannot fail, no matter which way you go through it.
This film is going to be the blockbuster of the year. Inception has nothing on Machete.
I won't go that far, but I think the reason people would actually go see this movie is because of Jessica Alba. That's it.
She's hot.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Whatever.
And Michelle Rodriguez. And Cheech. You can't, you know, yeah, as a priest. Go.
I want this film so bad.
All right. So you guys, everybody who wants to see the latest trailers, our Trailers Weekly, we have that from yesterday that has the Machete trailer as well as some other ones. So check that out. And you'll be able to download this podcast on iTunes. And that's it. I want to thank everyone for bringing me in, for coming in, to talk about Superman and other things.
Supercast.
Yeah, the Supercast. And that's it. All right. Thanks, guys.